You're listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. Here's your host, Keith Blakemore Noble.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, welcome back. Great to have you here, however you're catching us, whether you're watching us, whether you're listening to us, whether you're catching this as it goes out on Premiere, or whether you're catching us on catch-up. On YouTube, on Facebook, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or any of the 25 different places that were available. It is great to have you here right now. This episode, we are talking phobias. We're talking all about phobias. We're talking about why we have phobias, where they come from, why we have them, how we develop them. Why are we looking at this? In order to fully understand how we're able to conquer phobias, and yes, you absolutely can completely conquer any phobia. I've been helping people transform their deepest fears into their greatest strengths since 2010, helped over 5,000 people in five continents transform their lives. It is absolutely possible to completely conquer phobias and fears. But in order to understand kind of how that works, why that's possible, we need to look at where they come from in the first place. So that's what we're going to look at in this episode. I've had quite a few people asking where they come from, so here's our chance to find out. I guess the first thing we need to define is, what do we mean by a phobia? What is a phobia? Is it the same thing as a fear? Is it different from a fear? Well, a phobia is it's a kind of fear. I define a phobia as being an intense, irrational fear of something that poses you no physical, no actual threat. So a phobia is an intense, irrational fear of something that poses you no real harm. So yes, a phobia is a fear, but it's a really, really intense one. Very, very, very strong. So you get very strong reaction, very strong emotions, panic, all that sort of thing. It's very, very strong reaction. And it's irrational. That's a key part of a phobia. The stuff that we're talking about will apply equally to phobias and to fears in more general. But it's kind of useful just to define the difference between the two. So a phobia, the fear is irrational. And why is it irrational? Well, it's a fear of something that doesn't actually pose you any threat at all, or doesn't pose you any real threat. So that's what makes a fear into a phobia. It's a very, very strong reaction, and it's something that doesn't actually threaten you. Now, knowing that the fear in a phobia is irrational, knowing that is no help whatsoever. For years, I used to have a very strong phobia about spiders. Not uncommon. I used to have a strong phobia about spiders. And I remember one particular time I was helping my helping friends to move house. And I was with the husband. We were cleaning out some of the shed. We moved this huge board, a big board of wood, and behind it there were, felt like millions of, obviously there weren't, but huge numbers of spiders, and they were all scuttling around. And so there, both of us were terrified of spiders. So there were two of us, both over 6 foot tall, big blokes, over 6 foot tall, pinned ourselves against the far wall in the shed, scared of these spiders. I said to him, "Hey, this is ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, let's face it, we are more of a threat to them than they are to us." He says, "Yeah, I know. Doesn't make it any easier, does it?" Nope. But that's the thing. Having a phobia is a fear of an intense, irrational fear. But knowing it's irrational makes not one iota of difference. And we'll also explore why that is throughout a little bit later on in this episode. So we say it's irrational. Now, sometimes people, when they come across mates who have a phobia, they will try and sort of rationalise them out of it. "Oh, come on, you know, it's there's nothing to be scared of. Don't be silly." You know that fear is irrational, right?
Yeah.
We know it's irrational. Doesn't make it any easier to deal with. I'm happy to say I'm completely over my fear of spiders these days, using the same tools and techniques that I use to help countless other people conquer theirs. It's made such a difference, but I can still remember what it used to be like. I mean, that intense, irrational fear. So, why do we have fears? Why do we have phobias? Well, phobias develop because it's a really, really, really strong reaction to fear, but they all come about in the same sort of way. So we can talk about them in the same way from that perspective. And in fact, very often addressing them and resolving and conquering and transforming, whether it's a fear or a phobia, you do it in pretty much the same way. So where do they come from? Because you see, the thing is, none of us are born scared of anything. We're born without fear. We are fearless when we're born. It can drive our parents to distraction as we sort of seem to willingly throw ourselves off anything as we're crawling around. But we are not scared of anything. Now, when I say that, people sometimes say, oh, but isn't it true we're scared of loud noises? Because if you make a loud noise, the baby will react. Is it really acting out of fear, or is it simply going, what was that? When we hear a loud noise, we're going to be drawn to it. What was that? What was that noise? We're going to be drawn to it. Doesn't mean we're scared of it. It's just it has attracted our attention, which is very different from being scared of it. I would say we are born without fear of anything. So what happens is we learn to be scared of things. We learn fears. We learn that things are dangerous. And that's how we develop fears. That's how we develop phobias. We learn them. Now, sometimes we'll learn it either through direct personal experience, or we'll learn it because we are taught it, or we'll learn it through observation, observing others. And that's basically how we learn pretty much everything, especially in our formative years, our first few years of life. So let's take a look at each of those things. Learning a fear or a phobia by direct experience. That's where many of ours come from. So let's take a look at that. Let's give you an example. Suppose you're 3 years old. Your parents are taking you out to play in the park. It's a lovely, beautiful, sunny day. 3 years old, you're walking hand in hand with your parents into the park. They see some other big grown-ups and they start being boring like grown-ups often are and talking to each other, and you're getting bored, so you wander off to play in the park. Your parents notice that you've wandered off, but it's fine, it's safe. It's a play park. Nobody's going to harm you. It's fine. So you're wandering along. And then all of a sudden, you see this big, furry, slobbery mound of hair and teeth coming bounding towards you, teeth flapping around, slobbering like mad, making a huge racket. You've never encountered this thing before. It's a bit freaky. Now, we now know it's a dog. And the dog is just bounding towards you because it's thinking, yay, play, 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 play. Someone to play with, yay, play, 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 play. And it comes rushing towards you, maybe barking. You've not seen one before. And this, you're kind of like, what's this? What do I do? So you start to scream or cry, because that's when we're that young. That's how we attract the attention of our parents. Your parents hear you screaming or crying, see you there, see this dog rushing towards you. What do? They start shouting at the dog to get away and shouting at you to come to them. So they're now screaming and shouting. Now, when we're 3 years old, our parents are gods. Nothing phases them. They're gods. And our gods are now panicking about this thing that's coming towards us. That just serves to reinforce that this is scary. This is something we should be scared of. This is probably going to eat us. Ah! And in that moment, it's seared in that this furry thing equals death. It's seared into us. Very, very strong emotion there. Now, there's part of our brain which It's pretty much its sole purpose is to keep us alive, look for threats. Is this something which could kill us? If it is, wham, flashes the warning lights, the sirens, puts us on red alert, kicks the rest of the brain into operation, which starts triggering the generation of adrenaline, preparing us to run or fight. And that's where we start to the heart starts pounding away like mad to get more oxygen to the muscles, all this sort of thing, yeah? That part of our brain acts very, very quickly. It has to, because evolutionarily, over the millennia, over the tens of thousands, hundreds of millions of years, that's what's kept us and our ancestors and predecessors alive. It's fast reaction to spotting a threat and bam, kicking us into red alert. So it's kind of filed away. This thing equals danger. So anytime it sees a dog, it knows this is dangerous because the reactions, our experience, that one time experience, really cemented in that this was something really dangerous. So it sees a dog, bam, kicks us in to red alert. The next kind of layer or level, if you like, of our brain is our unconscious. It gets this panic red alert signal, so it then starts busy preparing the body, setting the creation of adrenaline, preparing us for fight or flight, preparing us to run or fight. That's what gets the heart pounding, all these sorts of things. The symptoms that we associate with a panic, it gets us breathing faster to oxygenate the blood. Then we've got the top level, our conscious. That's the bit that we're, that's kind of our awareness, the bit that we're aware of thinking with. Also, the unconscious is very much based on emotion. The conscious is very much based on logic. So our emotional unconscious has received this red alert signal. It's scanned through and seen that when we saw a dog when we were really young, panic ensued. We start to feel the panic. We get the panicky emotions. The fear really kicks in. By this time, the conscious part, our conscious, is going, oh, wait a minute. No, that's a dog. That's safe. It's all right. It's not going to hurt us. And besides, look at it. It's not going to hurt us. But by this time, our body is on full red alert. We've got all that adrenaline going. We are primed. We are prepped, ready to fight or run. So now our brain is starting to get a little bit confused. Part of it's saying this is a threat. This is a clear and present danger. It could kill us. We need to run. And part of the mind is going, it's a chihuahua. What are we going to do? Choke on it? It's fine. That's where we then get the freeze bit coming in, because part of us is saying run. Part of us is saying fight. Part of it is saying there's no problem. That's where the freeze part comes in for some people. But that's how we learned fear. We learned it as that three-year-old. And it's ingrained, so deeply ingrained in the mind, that this is a major threat to us. That's how we learned that fear. So that's how we can learn fears through direct personal experience. Another way we can learn them is by observation. And again, this usually happens when we're young. We might suppose, for example, suppose you have a parent who is scared of mice. It happens. You see that parent, anytime they see a mouse, that parent starts to freak out, to scream and shout and panic a bit and try and rush away from the mouse. Every time they see a mouse, they panic. You're observing this. And one of the ways in which we learn how to do anything in life is by observing and mimicking. And because you're observing what's happened here, you start to learn, oh, that thing, when we see that, we freak out. Got it. I get it now. Yeah. Anytime I see a mouse, I freak out because that's what my parent does, which must mean that's what we do. Okay, I've got it. I understand it now. And again, your mind gets taught that when we see a mouse, we freak out. So how does that cause us to have fear in later on in life? Well, much of what we do, we don't work out from first principles. Our mind has like a rule book or a set of programs that tell it how to operate in any given situation. Because, of course, trying to work things out from first principles every time would be a complete waste. I mean, if you pick up a glass, you pick up a glass of water to drink from it, you don't have to work out from first principles how to move your muscles, how to take a sip, how to put the glass down. You don't have to work on that stuff. You know how to do that. Your mind has got programs, if for want of a better word, on how to do it. So it is with, in this case, the mouse. Our mind sees a mouse, recognises it, goes, oh, hang on, let's look up in my rule book. What do we do when we see that? A mouse, oh, panic, got it. We'll run the panic program. So when you see the mouse, you have been programmed by observing and learning from a parent, for example. I say a parent, this could be from anybody. It could be from parents, it could be from friends, it could be from peers, it could be from things we see on television, anywhere that we're observing. We learn so much by observing, especially when we're very young. So we learn that this thing means we panic. So we panic, even though we've no idea why. That's just the way it's always been done. So our brain makes us panic. It triggers our fear reactions. Is this making sense so far? I hope it is. Let me know. I mean, if you have any questions or comments anytime, get in touch with me. Pop a message on the on Facebook or wherever you're seeing this. Pop a message or get in touch with me. Love to have a chat. If you have any questions, pop them there. Who knows? You won't be the only person with whatever question it is that you have. So pop your question. I'll do my best to answer it. Who knows? It may become the basis of an entire episode. Wouldn't that be cool? So that's two ways in which we learn fear. And remember, we said we're not born scared of anything. We learn our fears. And this is the same whether it's a fear or a phobia. And the third way we do it is we're directly taught. And this is a massive one, particularly in certain cultures. And again, this is a fear I personally used to have. That's what got me into all of this stuff in the first place, into learning hypnosis and NLP and the tools of changing the mind to help me conquer this particular fear, which is fear of speaking to strangers. I could not do it. I would panic. You may have heard the story before about the time I went to a party and ended up locking myself in the toilet, having a full-on panic attack, and then fleeing and running and not calming down until I was on the train and the train was pulling away. I was terrified of the thought of speaking with strangers. And that's not a totally uncommon fear. Again, many, many other people have it. And the reason I mention this is because this is certainly in the category of a fear we get specifically taught. There are four words which I'm willing to bet you have heard when you were growing up, and not just once. You've probably heard it many times from many people, from parents, from guardians, from other family members, from teachers, from cub or scout leader, brownie or guide leader, wherever. You've heard it many, many times from from TV programs. And these four words are: don't talk to strangers. Don't talk to strangers. And of course, when we're taught that through growing up, it absolutely serves a very valid, vital purpose. And there are no two ways about it. It's an essential lesson for us to have at that point in life. And it will have saved countless people, countless children. However, here's the thing. When we're told don't talk to strangers, doesn't come across as, oh, by the way, don't talk to strangers. Anyway, here's what we're going to have for tea tonight. It comes because of the fear that driven behind it. It comes across more like, don't you dare talk to strangers, because if you talk to strangers, they will kill you to death, and mummy and daddy will be very upset, and it'll all be your fault because you spoke to a stranger. Whoa. Is it any wonder so many of us had problems speaking with strangers. We've had the fear of death instilled into us. Don't talk to strangers. My question to you is this. When was the last time somebody said to you, hey, look, you know we said don't talk to strangers? Well, you know what? You are now big enough and old enough, strong enough and wise enough to be able to judge for yourself and to look after yourself. You're able to know when it's safe to talk to strangers. So you know what? It's okay. You can talk to strangers. When was the last time anyone told you that? I'm willing to bet this is probably the first time, right? We don't get told, you know, it's all right to talk to strangers. For some of us, as we grow up, we develop that insight ourselves, and we develop at an unconscious level, hey, it's all right to talk to strangers now. I can deal with this. But some people don't. That is a very strong example of the third way in which we learn fear, by being directly told. Basically, we're being told, be scared of this. That's how we develop a fear. So just to recap, we're not born scared of anything. We are born totally fearless. We learn fear through three primary ways. One, through direct experience of experiencing something and finding it scary. And the scarier it is, the more likely we are to develop a strong fear or even a phobia about it, either from a very, very strong event or experiencing that event, similar event, several times. It becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Second way is by observation, seeing how other people behave in particular situations and kind of taking all that on board at the unconscious level, especially before the age of 7, where we absorb everything, just like a sponge soaks up water. And the third way is we're told directly, be scared of this, don't talk to strangers, that's dangerous, that's scary. So that's how we learn how to be scared of things. So any fear that you have, or any fear that you can even think of, you have it, or others have it, because they were taught to be scared, either through their own experience, or by observing others, or they were directly taught. That is a scary thing. That's how we develop fears. That's how we develop phobias. Because we can develop phobias by having a very strong reaction, like the example of the dog, for example. Weird way of putting it, but you know what I mean. The example of the dog. Someone in that situation could well grow up to have a phobia of dogs. Somebody I know, they were, when they were young, they were taken on holiday, they were at a lighthouse, and they were messing around, and they nearly fell out, and that bit didn't freak them out, but their mum and their dad utterly freaked, as they would, right? And that got seared in the person's mind, and they developed a lifelong fear, phobia of heights, which actually caused them some various problems in their careers. They were going through life until we worked together, completely conquered it. Now, no problem with heights at all. But that's another example of how you can develop a phobia through one single incident, because we get taught, we learn, this is scary. We learn by the reactions of what's going on and the strong emotions that are built around it. Why is this important to know? Well, we'll cover that in another episode at some point when we look at how we can conquer our fears, how we can easily overcome and conquer our fears and our phobias without anything like ghastly exposure therapy or aversion therapy or any of that barbaric stuff. We'll look at it. We've got the building blocks here. We now understand how fears develop. And here's the thing. Here's the interesting thought I want to leave you with. Sometimes people will say, well, yeah, Keith, but my fear is a very, very, very strong one. My phobia is incredibly strong. That means I can't get rid of it, right? Wrong. It's interesting. Because we develop fear, we develop phobias by learning. The fact that you have a fear or a phobia means you're good at learning how to behave, how to react, which means, under the right guidance and the right situations, you can be equally good at learning new empowering ways to behave. So rather paradoxically, the stronger your fear, the stronger your phobia, the easier it is and the faster it is for you to completely conquer it. But we're getting ahead of ourselves. We'll have a look at that in another episode, if that's something that's of interest. Would that be something that's of interest to you? Let me know. Pop a comment. Send me a message. Let me know what you think. Let me know if that would be of interest. Let me know any other things you want to cover. And while you're at it, hit wherever you're catching this, hit subscribe, hit like, rate us, leave comments, give feedback, share this far and wide with your friends and anyone else who you feel would benefit from this. That's it for this episode. I hope you found it useful. I hope you found it interesting. Perhaps it's got you pondering a few things. I'll catch you again very, very soon. But until then, take care, look after yourself, and remember, change is always possible. And when you change your mind, you change your life. Bye for now.
You've been listening to the Keith Blakemore Noble Radio Show, helping you transform your deepest fears into your greatest strengths. To find out more, please visit KeithBlakemoreNoble.com.